We're going to look at Psalm 30. It's a psalm of David, and I love it. And the words say, I will extol thee, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cry to you, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from the grave. You have kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. Sing to the Lord, O saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endures but for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by your favor, you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, and I was troubled. I cried to you, O Lord. To the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise you? Shall it declare your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. To the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So we're going to look at that, refueling the empty think tank, as it were. And I realize we don't have a think tank, perhaps like a tank in our car. But I'm sure we've all been out of gas, gasoline, and the inopportune times fuel. So we're going to think of that, our lives really, as a think tank, and how we need fuel for that tank. Because, I mean, as we look at the life of David, what is it that distinguished him from many others? I think it was his attitude of gratitude for all that God had done for him, in spite of his many trials and tribulations. So we're going to look this morning and begin to look at some of the Psalms. Lord willing, we'll look at three Psalms this month. And the subject of Thanksgiving, how to fill that and really refuel that empty think tank, I think that we all experience. I think not just at this time of the year. Maybe it's a good exercise, though, for us to think about things that we should be thankful for and how that will fuel our lives and transform us into the thankful people, the worshiping people, the praising God people that we all know we ought to be. We all know about empty fuel tanks. So we're going to begin to look here at refueling the empty think tank and some keys to refilling or refueling, if you will, that empty think tank. As we look at the psalm here, I just want to draw out some things that impress me. I want to suggest them to you as maybe some things that God has put here in his word that we might learn from, that we might learn how to be more thankful people, more worshiping people, more happy people in the sense that we're not, you know, with a pasted-on smile, but there's a deep inner joy in our lives, a deep inner joy that comes out of this life of gratitude to God. Well, I think the first key is a remembering. As I look at this Psalm of David, I realize that he remembered what God had done for him. And it's why David wrote this psalm of praise. Now, just a little background. You may remember in 2 Samuel chapter 24, and also it's recorded in 1 Chronicles 21, 1 through 28. You don't have to read that now, but it tells about how David was, I think it says, incited by the devil to number God's people. And I've often wondered, well, what's behind that? What's so wrong with taking a census? I mean, we do that every 10 years. Well, I think it was for the wrong reason. I think it was a time in David's life that he was especially attacked with pride. And I think we all have experienced that, where he thought of himself as being, well, the great king over this great nation. This nation that God said would be the greatest nation on earth, that would be a light to the other nations. And so he began to think about his place in history, perhaps, his legacy. And he wanted to know, there was also opposition, and he wanted to know how many were for him and how many were against him. Do you see how perhaps David began to think less about him being where he was because God had put him there, and that God would provide for him until he was accomplished? He had accomplished the mission that God had put him on earth to accomplish. And so he began to think in a rather worldly way. And he realized that later. His own general, Job, rebuked him for it. He said, why would the king want to do such a thing? And Job wasn't a particularly godly man, as you may know. And yet he was rebuked by this rather worldly-minded general named Joab. Well, there was a remembering what God had done for him. Why David wrote this song, to remember what God had done. I think it's so important that we remember, the deliverances that God has given us, especially the cross, of course, and how God has forgiven us of all of our sins, how we deserve to be in prison, and if not in prison, in hell. I mean, we are all sinners in the eyes of God. And sometimes we get kind of self-righteous about that. I know I do. And I begin to think about myself, oh, you know, I'm a minister. They call me the pastor. And it can lead to pride. And I think we all have experienced that in one way or another. So I think it's why we need to remember what God has done. Erase him, first of all. David said in verse 1, you have lifted me up. And it reminds me of Peter out there on the lake. Do you remember on the Sea of Galilee that Peter, the Lord came to the disciples walking on the sea, and they cried out in fear. And Peter went walking to Jesus on the water, a rather dangerous thing, we would say, to do in a stormy sea. And yet it showed his faith. But he began to look at the circumstances, and he found himself out there on the sea with nothing under him but the angry waves. And he began to sink. Really a parable of our own lives, a parable of my life, certainly. And here God says through David, you have lifted me up. Now, David here speaking to God. You have lifted me up. And it reminds me of the hymn writer, the hymn, I think the name of the hymn is, it'll come to me, but it's the words are, from sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me, from shades of night to plains of light, oh praise his name, he lifted me. Now that's an old kind of quaint wording for this experience that we have all had, I trust, of Jesus lifting us up. Now if he hasn't lifted you yet, he wants to lift you. It's really what salvation is. It's lifting us up out of the hell-deserving life that we all have lived to this point. I mean, we're all sinners worthy of hell. And Jesus came so that we would not have to bear the punishment that we deserve. And he died on the old rugged cross for us. So I just want to encourage us to remember that raising, a remedy. David says, you have healed me. Now, I'm not sure that we know exactly what specific healing David is referring to, but many commentators believe that David is writing this after this numbering of the people, and God sent a plague upon the people. 70,000 people died in that plague. 70,000, I think it says men, but probably people. But still, a plague of 70,000. I mean, that's no trivial matter. Perhaps David himself could have been sick and thought he was going to die. I'm sure there were many like that in the nation. So his healing, I think the fact that we're here today means that we've been healed from something. Mark sprained his foot, broke a bone in his foot. I suppose it could have been worse, Mark, but you're grateful it wasn't worse, I'm sure. But all of us have come through some kind of trials of healing, perhaps cancer. We have a sister-in-law, my wife and I, my brother's wife has recently been diagnosed with cancer, and appreciate your prayers for her. Her name's Debbie. But I think the fact that we are here today really is a fact of God's healing of our lives. Now, perhaps we still have some health issues. And it's not just health, it's not just physical health, of course, it's wholeness. God created us to be people that are whole, spirit, soul, and body, to be healed. Not to necessarily be healed of every physical disease, because if that were the case, we would never die. Remedying, you have healed me. I think it's something that we should all be grateful for. And then the reviving, it's reviving, this remembering. Now, David said to God, you have brought my soul from the grave. And how did he do that? With singing and thanksgiving. That is, he celebrated that fact with singing and thanksgiving. Music has great power. When we hear a song, it moves us to worship and to remember such the music that we've sung and had ministered to us this morning. God has put a song in our hearts. And the Bible says that we are to sing in our hearts and make melody to the Lord. And we are to offer that up as worship to the Lord, to him who is holy. Why? Because his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. God is such a wonderful God that he does not keep his anger against us forever. I'm thankful for that. I mean, I've stepped on a few roaches since coming here. I try to step on as many as I can. But I think of how God could do that with me, because I'm no better than a roach, really, in the sight of God. And yet his anger, it says here, lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. So remember him. But secondly, here is a requesting, a prayer, if you will. In verses 6 through 10, David said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. I think this is going back to that time, if it was indeed the time when he numbered the people of Israel. And he began to think how blessed he was. But in all of that, he really began to think in a worldly way. And so it brought these trials, not only upon himself, but upon the nation. You have made my mountain to stand strong, he said, but yet you hid your face. And so here is David pouring out his heart to the Lord. He said, when you hid your face, I was dismayed. Another translation of that. And I think of how pain often has produced prayer in my life. I remember back when we lived in Illinois, I had this terrible toothache. I had an abscess tooth. And I prayed and should have gone to the dentist. Well, I did eventually. But anyway, God healed me from that. I could have died. I mean, those are very serious things. It doesn't take a big, cancer or something like that. We know to take our lives. Our lives are really hanging by a thread. And God has, is the one who's holding us. And we sometimes forget that. But here is David pouring out his heart to the Lord in his hurting. James said, is any afflicted? Let him pray. Sometimes God brings us to those times of affliction, those times of hurting, that we might pour out our heart to him, because we're so prone to forget that we need God and that we need his help. Humbly. Prosperity can lead to pride, which God hates. And sometimes we just need to endure the affliction of the Lord, frankly. The Bible says that no child is without chastisement, because we all need sometimes that correction. And that can be humbling. It is humbling. It's why the Bible says that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will lift us up. So I see that here in David, how he'd come to this, through this trial, a humbler man, listening, willing to pour out his heart to the Lord and listen to God as well. So there's a hurting, there's a humbling in this requesting. And there's also a helping. James says, my brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of trials, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. So there was really help. God was doing these things not because he hated David, not because he hated the nation, but because he loved them. And sometimes, as a child, I didn't always think that when mom took the fly swatter handle against me on the wrong side of the fly swatter, wrong end, dad sometimes had to You know, if I was really bad, that's when bad got into it. So, and I didn't enjoy those things, but I'm thankful for that now, because I realize that this is God correcting me. And I think David had come through this trial in his life, realizing that God was not doing these things to him and to the nation because he hated them, but just the opposite, because he loved them. He loves us. He loves us with an everlasting love, the Bible says. We who have experienced his mercies over time have realized really a little bit of what that means, an everlasting love. It never ends. God never changes. He is faithful. And so there was a requesting, there was a rejoicing. And in that rejoicing, there was a reversal. He talked about how God turned his mourning into dancing. Now we know that David loved to dance, but it wasn't ballroom dancing or the twist or, you know, whatever the modern craze of dancing, usually very sensuous, suggestive. No, it wasn't that at all. It was a dancing for joy before the Lord. And I think maybe, I don't know as Baptists whether we'll ever get that far, but if you feel like God is leading you to raise your hands and praise him, you know, you want to twirl around or whatever, just in joy. I mean, you would do that, right, if University of Hawaii won the national championship or something? Or whatever your favorite team is. I know all of you have a favorite team. Well, not all of you. I don't think my wife does. A birth of a grandchild, for example. I mean, you jump for joy. So I appreciate that. I mean, well, we should express that, shouldn't we? We should express joy and love for Christ and worship him as David did. He danced before the Lord. I'm not making that a doctrine, saying you have to do that. But certainly in your heart, there ought to be that joy of Christ in your heart that finds its way to your expression, to your worship of the Lord. A reversal, a reason for rejoicing. A reason for rejoicing, a thankfulness for what God has done. I think it's what he said there in verse 12, I will give thanks to the Lord forever. But really a commitment that David made. I think so that he would remember sometimes when he wasn't thankful. Well, what do I have to be thankful for today? I mean, it's raining. Well, not today, but you know, sometimes there are those days when the clouds just seem to hang over us and nothing seems to go right from the time we get out of bed in the morning. Maybe we don't feel well or feel as well as we'd like to. And then we get about, go to work or go about our daily responsibilities and things just don't go right. I think it's in those times when David remembered. Well, I made a commitment to the Lord. I know he's there. I know that he loves me. I know that he's brought me through many trials, and I'm just going to thank the Lord no matter what. So there was a reason for rejoicing, a renewal, constant praise. We spoke of that. And I think a person who has not learned to rejoice in God for his deliverances has not learned to be thankful. Oh,